Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with a reading from the book of Job, and Job's friends are really not very good friends at times. And Job answers his friends in the midst of all his suffering, and he said, "I know well that it is so, but how can a man be justified before God? Should one wish to contend with him, he could not answer him once in a thousand times. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has withstood him and remained unscathed?" So Job, even in the midst of his sufferings, can still bring honor to God by believing that God is great and that God is good. He is wise in heart. He is mighty in strength. "It's me that's the problem," says Job. "He removes the mountains before they know it. He overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and the pillars beneath it tremble. He commands the sun, and it rises not. He seals up the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads upon the crests of the sea. He made the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He does great things past finding out, marvelous things beyond reckoning. Should he come near me, I see him not. Should he pass by, I am not aware of him. Should he seize me forcibly, who can say him nay? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' How much less shall I give him any answer, or choose out arguments against him? Even though I were right, I could not answer him, but should rather beg for what was due me. If I appealed to him and he answered my call, I could not believe that he would hearken to my words." Look at that humility. Even in the midst of suffering, God is great, God is good. And even though I don't fully understand or comprehend what God is allowing, I won't condemn him and I won't speak against him. How many of us do? Where is God? God's a figment of people's imagination. God didn't answer me. God didn't do this for me. Therefore, there really isn't a God. It's all a farce. People can be pushed to that in anger and bitterness. What we need to do is what Job did. We bow and we say with the saints, "When thy ways are beyond understanding, I will adore thee in silent trust." That's very difficult to say. Sometimes it comes out of clenched teeth. But if you stay in that posture, God will hear your prayer. That's how Job was. His friends weren't giving him good advice, and Job said, I can't curse God. I can't walk away. He bows down. That's what we're called to do, and we don't want to do that. It's humiliating, we say. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, all of us need to be humbled. We might think we're a God with a small g, but we're far from that. We're far from that. God's not going to trample you and destroy you. He's going to heal you. He's going to redirect you, and he's going to raise you up. Jesus, I trust in you. Even when thy ways, even to allow, is beyond my understanding, I will trust you. That's called faith, and that's why I say every day we need to pray for faith. But always, brothers and sisters, always in this year of mercy, always turn to God and say, "Have mercy on me, sinner." And he will. And he will. Trust him. Even when you want to curse God, even when you, like Job, want to turn away, even when you seem to be hit on every side, trust him. He's calling you to put your trust in him alone. He's taking away your trust in people and places and things, all the things we trust in on this earth. He's stripping you of that, that you put all your trust in him. Trust him. It's an act of faith. It might come through clenched teeth, but if you can squeeze those words out of you, Jesus, I put my trust in you. You watch what God does for you. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Don't we do that at moments of great inspiration, you know? Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus answered him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. In other words, if you follow me, I can't guarantee you all the things that this earth say are necessary. I can't guarantee that. To another, he said, follow me. But the person replied, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But he said, answered him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, what the Lord is saying here, he's just indicating to him that following the will of God is more important than any other obligation. God would want you to care for those dying in your family. He wants you to do that. But he's just saying the more important thing is that you follow the will of God. And every once in a while, those things clash. And we need wisdom and discernment what to do. But God is saying, put me first. Above even the most important obligation, put me first. Can we do that? Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. And Jesus answered him, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, once again, God is not saying here that you ignore your obligations to your family. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying, in your heart, put my will first. It's like saying to the Lord, Lord, I have these responsibilities, but I sense you calling me to this. Help me to know how to do this. I will follow you, but I do need to provide for this person or this group of people. And he'll show you. But what he wants from your heart is a willingness to put him first before everything, everything. God will never ask you not to fulfill your family obligations, never. Unless there's someone else in the family who can step up to the plate. Sometimes that needs to happen. But what God is looking at right now is your heart. Your heart. Is it really given over to God's will? Or are you using family obligations as an excuse? Sometimes it's a reason, but are you using it as an excuse? Are you kind of, oh, thank God I have an excuse to get out of doing X? Are you saying, Lord, I do want your will in all things. Teach me how to accomplish it with the other responsibilities I have. I put you first over everything. That needs to be in our spirit, and that the Lord is asking for here. It's not easy. The responsorial psalm today says to us, Psalm 88, let my prayer come before you, Lord. Do you know that the Lord hears every word, every single word of every prayer you pray? Even if you whisper them, if they're even simply in your mind, God hears every thought, every word. Every action. Daily I call upon you, O Lord. To you I stretch out my hands. Will you work wonders for the dead? Will the shades arise to give you thanks? Do they declare your mercy in the grave, your faithfulness among those who have perished? Are your wonders made known in the darkness, your justice in the land of oblivion? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. With my morning prayer I wait upon you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me? Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Why do you hide your face from me? But I love you, and I will follow you, and I will walk with you, no matter what happens. Can we say that? do we do that? See, brothers and sisters, it's very, very, very important that we are willing to look, that we're really willing to look at ourselves and say, am I using other responsibilities in my life as an excuse not to do what I think God might be asking of me? And I'm justifying myself by other responsibilities. Now, I'm not saying that you throw all your responsibilities away. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is God honestly first in your heart or not? Will you do what he asks, no matter what the cost? Will you do that? Will you follow him? In our daily actions, it doesn't have to be, you know, extravagant dramas being played out on the world stage. Some of the greatest dramas are being played out right in our own heart. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to do what he asks? I want to encourage you, whether you're 20 or you're 80, it doesn't matter the age. What matters is your heart. What matters is your disposition. Are you open to the Lord? Are you open to his word? Especially, and as we talk about the last couple of days, especially when the Lord is testing Job by removing from him many things. He goes through a lot of struggle. Job goes through a lot of struggle, but he does what God asks of him. It's hard. But again, as I said yesterday on the program, again, what God wants to do is draw us into union with him. And there is no safer place than there. There is no place from which you will not be called. There's no place like the heart of God through which you can be called to be charitable and good, not only to your own family, but to the whole world. Nothing, brothers and sisters, should be an obstacle to God's will. Nothing. But it does take a surrender. It does take an open heart. It does take a willingness to show how God will make it possible. Put his will first, his way first. In everything you do, your relationship with your spouse, with your children, relationships in your workplace, relationships in your parish, wherever you are and whatever you do, wherever you go, is God's will first. The way to speak a kind word when you want to be angry, all the way up to the will that called you to renounce everything and follow him. Whatever it may be, and all the steps in between, what God is looking for is a heart that's surrendered, a heart that says, Lord, I place all my trust in you. I love you. I want your will in my life. There's where you will be the happiest, no matter how difficult, you will be the happiest. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.